love the movies. Do you miss going to the video store, acid washed jeans, and MTV with music? I know we do. Welcome to Mike and Anthony Soda Pop Culture Club. Me, Mike, along with my co-host Anthony.
Does he look like a bitch?
Well, that's what Anthony says to himself in the mirror every morning.
Why'd you try to fuck him like one? Check out the big brain on Brad.
We're going to bring our take on a classic movie every Monday from the 80s, 90s, and beyond, during which we will play the game and open up a six-pack of favorite scenes. We also point out a couple of generic scenes as well. And at the end of the movie, we'll rate the movie 1 to 24 cans. One can is coming out of the...
We already know what one can is.
I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say the other thing is coming out of the restroom, having some light reading, and someone shoots you with your own gun. That's a one can, right?
No, that's not compared to... No.
24 cans is... one can is not ODing by being an OD bitch on someone's front lawn. Okay. I mean, there's many one cans in this movie.
I don't know. I think 24 cans. How about having your own intercom system, being able to talk to the people when they come in? That's pretty.
That sweet. Is a 24 can, or sweet. Just being, as you would say, hot Uma Thurman is 24 cans.
Yes.
Okay. But before we get to all that, we just want to remind you, you can request shows. We've told you many times, go back and listen. You know how to do it. But the number one way, the one way that Anthony wants you to do it, he will tell you.
Yes, I will. I want you to send me a coupon for Big Kahuna Burger and also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And in that review, let us know what movie you would like us to review for you.
Like, that's example it. Would be, your podcast sucks.
Yes.
So do this movie.
Because I won't listen to it because your podcast fucking sucks.
I won't listen to you. Your podcast sucks until you do, I don't know, this movie, whatever it is. Like you said, that one movie, Night Patrol.
Right.
Your podcast sucks. If you do Night.
If you do rail on our podcast in the review, please leave your name and address so we can send you a thank you.
Yeah. Wait, where is my
powdery envelope?
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. Nope. Wait, what? Well, I don't know. Powdery envelope sounds weird.
Okay. What? No.
But
I think we are past, yeah.
But I just want to remind you also, we do have a website, sodapopcultureclub.com. We have Instagram. Check that out. Like he said before on previous episode, Google us. You'll find all kinds of shit. And most
yeah,
of it
you
good.
Will.
Nothing some bad.
Depends. If you look us up on the deep web, I think you'll find some other shit.
I don't know what he's got going on. Maybe he has some pictures of himself that he's selling. Go for it, guys. That's
yeah,
all I'm going
to
say.
I tried selling them. I'm still in debt for what I paid to have the copies made.
Oh, wow. All but right.
They,
are
they
you
moving? They just ain't moving.
Are you ready for yep. the trailer here?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, here you go.
Miramax Films is proud to present one of the most celebrated motion pictures of the year. The winner of the 1994 Palme d'Or. The best picture of the Cannes Film Festival.
Getting big man's wife.
Well, he's going out of town, Florida, and he asked me if I take care of her while he's gone.
Take care?
No, man. Just show her a good time, make sure she don't get lonely.
Girl. You see, this is a moral test of oneself.
I do believe Marcellus, my husband, your boss, told you to take me out and do whatever I wanted. I love you so
much, can't count on whether or not you can maintain loyalty.
Night of the fight, you may feel a slight sting. Pride only hurts. It never helps. In the fifth, your ass goes down.
I have to say, play with matches, you get burned.
We should have shot guys with this kind of a deal.
We're in a lot of danger, aren't we?
I'm prepared to scour the earth for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Get down, get down.
You got a corpse in a car, minus a head in the garage. Take me to it.
Don't you hate that?
Hate what?
Uncomfortable silences.
John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Amanda Plummer, Maria de Medeiros, Bing Rames, Eric Stoltz, Rosanna Arquette, Christopher Walken, and Bruce Willis.
Looking at something for me.
Ain't my friend, Luca.
Die, you mother!
A new film directed by Quentin Tarantino. Pulp Fiction.
You really thinking about quitting?
Most definitely.
What you gonna do then?
Basically, I'm just gonna walk the earth.
What you mean, walk the earth?
You know, like Kane in Kung Fu.
There it is, Pulp Fiction. I'm going to jump into the breakdown by the numbers. I'm not going to tell you who directed it and who it fucking starred because they just said all that in the fucking preview. Literally, they took half my shit. But Pulp Fiction was released in the U.S. on October 14th, 1994, taking in $213.9 million at the box office against an $8 to $8.5 million budget. I can only assume the $500,000 discrepancy there was towards some type of sick-ass Harvey Weinstein fetish bullshit that he had to pay for. I don't know. But it does score 8.9 out of 10 on IMDb and 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
This movie did some good work.
Did some bank, yeah.
It did some things. Did some cheddar. For as little money as it was made out of, that was ridiculous, in my opinion. I thought...
We're on a run here. I mean, we just talked about American Pie, low budget, kind of that. It was in that neighborhood too.
Yeah.
But this was, you know, we talked about Blair Witch and American Pie, both 99. This was 94.
This was a little before that.
This hit for sure.
I'm just going to say before we get into, you know, because we're going to play the game here in a moment, but before we get into all that, one of the things that I would say, there's movies before Pulp Fiction and there's movies after Pulp Fiction. And I think everything up until this movie was a certain style and everything after it changed. That's the best way for me to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, movies changed, especially you could say it was a few films in a row. You could say for Reservoir Dogs, True Romance, and Pulp Fiction changed like the trajectory of movies forever.
It's the Tarantino effect.
It set off to me what I would call the last golden age of film, really, for me. Like, the 90s had so many good movies that you could consider independent that did numbers like this. Anymore, you're never gonna get this again.
I don't agree with that.
What? Where are you going to get it? On a streaming platform where you better be subscribed to Netflix?
No, but everything is cyclical, okay? Don't say that's never going to happen again.
Till it's not.
Till it's not.
I don't see the landline telephone making a comeback.
You want to bet? I guarantee you that shit will make a comeback too.
It doesn't make money. It ain't coming back. And I think that's why this is never going to happen.
That's a novelty. The fact that it would work. We have our fucking payphone that actually we don't have hooked up just because we don't have a landline, but it does work on a landline.
I get that. But that doesn't mean people want it. That's my point.
Do you not? I don't know. You never know. It could come to the point where, again, I mean, Bell Bottoms came back. Shit like that comes back. Maybe we do get into a swing where people want to start talking on the phone again.
Did you say you want a swing?
No.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. Whew. See, this is your selective hearing.
Oh, I heard swing and I just went.
Talked about.
Face.
Just not a shot.
But no, I just feel anymore, I'm not saying it could never happen, but let's put it this way. The odds of a small budget movie going into the theaters these days and crushing it like this did without the hype train, because you got to remember, this movie had to be made first. It had to go to all these film festivals and people talk about it. So that is possible. It would have to have the same organic birth. And then be put into theaters and people go, I want to see that bad, just like, you know, every other blockbuster.
But here's the thing. We had this discussion when we did Every Which Way But Loose.
That'll never happen again.
That was like, then.
No. Every Which Way But Loose. When I said that, not that would never happen again. I didn't think it. Obviously, it happened since 1978 or 79.
Right.
But those things happen, like back that those things could happen up through the 90s and even some into the early 2000s. Once streaming took hold and it became more of blockbuster or bust in the theater, it's kind of gone the way of.
I mean, I do get the one drawback is especially now post COVID that we have basically every movie is available in a month.
Yes.
To stream. So I think that does hinder it, but I still don't think that that means that can't happen again.
I told you it's possible, but you're going to have to get a special movie that by a special person that goes through all the award ceremonies, like the Sundance Film Festival, you know, all those things have to happen. I think Cannes Film Festival.
You know what? The other thing though, that's is kind of, I think the problem with that it's not that it can't happen. It's just that you don't have, like Netflix doesn't, you don't get like reports on that, like what a movie does in the box office or what it does on Netflix. You know, you don't get news about that, oh, it made so much money, because you can't quantify that.
I agree.
The problem. You can still have that same effect, but monetarily, like you won't necessarily see it from a box office standpoint.
I know. And that's why this experience is dead. You're never going to go to the theater. And what I'm saying, you're never going to go to the theater, buy yourself some bunch of crunch and a Coke, sit down with somebody and discover a movie that you didn't know was going to be exceptional and walk out like, wow, my mind is blown. Because it's never going to come to you from out of nowhere. It's never going to.
I disagree. I think that's not anymore. The thing I disagree with the most about that's implausible is, do they still sell Bunch of Crunch at the theater?
Yes, they do, because it's my favorite.
Okay. Lame.
Okay. Are you ready, my friend?
Yes, let's play the game.
All right, it's time for the game, and you know what the game is. Anthony knows what the game is, and the game is where I'm going to read three movie reviews, which I just had to create while we were listening to the trailer, just to let you know. And one of them is fake, two of them are real, and he's going to guess. And, that's why this is amazing, because I just did it in 2 seconds.
Way to be prepared.
Well, you know, I'm as prepared as you can get. I thought I had it done, because I had created the note template, but I never finished it.
You had to send your dog ate it. I would have taken that.
That's fun. Okay. Are you ready, my friend?
I'm ready.
All right. He's drinking, so that tells me he's exceptionally ready.
Hell yes.
Chris Hicks, Deseret News. Tarantino truly is a remarkable filmmaker, and Pulp Fiction is indeed a remarkable film. Cara Dunn, The LA Times. I just didn't get it. It was shot beautifully, but had no story. Robert Roman, Laramie Movie Scope. The film is a conceptual tour de force. And the wheels turn in Anthony's head.
Read the second one again.
Cara Dunn, LA Times. I just didn't get it. It was shot beautifully, but had no story.
All right. Can I have the third one again?
Robert Roman, Laramie Movie Scope. The film is a conceptual tour de force.
Read the first one again.
Chris Hicks, Deseret News. Tarantino truly is a remarkable filmmaker, and Pulp Fiction is indeed a remarkable film. He is burning.
I know. I don't even know, but I'm going to guess the third one.
And if I told you that you were wrong, which would be your second choice?
Where's my quarter? I got to flip. That ain't fucking no.
Flip it off, brah. Flip it off.
Second one.
That you would be correct, because that is the character from The Mandalorian that Gina...
See, again, Dick, though, I haven't watched The Mandalorian. Quit Gina doing shit Carano. That I haven't watched, because you're an idiot.
That's not my fault that you didn't see that. I mean, I was watching it recently, and I had it pulled up on my...
You fucking, last time you threw a name out from Tombstone, asshole.
Well, once again, I didn't know you hadn't seen a movie that came out, I don't know, 28 years ago, so.
There's a lot of movies that came out 28 years ago that haven't seen.
Or whatever. You know what it is. So yes, I just didn't get it. It was shot beautifully but had no story. That is a fake review. But I could see where that could be real, though, you know?
Yeah. Because
there were some people who just didn't get it, did they?
Yeah.
Like my wife just didn't get it.
Well, we're
there are some people that need linear.
We're not equating your wife's taste in movies into this.
Yeah, but you got to understand, she represents a group of people.
She doesn't get most of the shit we watch, though.
But she represents a group of people who need a very linear storytelling.
She needs
a beginning and middle.
She needs the Hallmark Channel.
She needs the formula.
Set up, yes.
Yeah. Yes, she does.
She needs a start, a middle, and an end, and that I pretty much know how it's going to end. That's what she wants.
Correct. Now, I'm going to give...
I just want to ask, though, because I don't... Does your wife appreciate... like surprise endings or didn't see that coming kind of stuff? Or does she pretty much want to not be surprised?
Okay. She doesn't mind a surprise ending as long as it is fully resolved.
Okay.
If it leads to, we don't know what happened and the ending could be whatever you want to make up. She hates that.
So she fucking hates the suitcase. I'm assuming.
Yeah. She would, that okay. thing. She wouldn't want anything to do with that.
All right.
So yeah, she's not. So like for example, I was talking about Ethan Hawke in Before Sunrise. One of my favorite movies is 1994 or something like that. And him and Celine have that whole relationship. And they say they're going to meet 6 months later right there on the training yep. station. And we don't know if it really happens. She hates the fact that we never got to see the follow-up.
Right.
Think of it that way. Like we got to have some resolution here. I guess the true romantic in her can't say, yes, they did. You know?
So she just has no imagination or what?
I guess that's what it is. She has imagination. It's
give
just,
me an ending, damn it. Make me a bicycle know. Clown.
But I want to say in this particular movie, Pulp Fiction is excellent. But it's so excellent that I could probably give you more than just the six pack, right? Like there's a six pack.
The six pack for this is almost not fair.
You know what?
So like, what the fuck?
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the generic right away. I'm going to give it right away so we can talk about it right away.
Okay.
So that we can enjoy more of what we talk about. And it's going to be, and I'm going to fold two things into my generic.
Okay.
And I think you'll like this. Generic. The thing, and this has been a criticism of Tarantino, not just in this film. It's multiple films. But he has kind of sometimes a racism angle that hits you yes. right in the face.
Yeah.
And this does it a lot. I don't know. And sometimes we can't tell because of the movies he does. And I'm thinking of Django Unchained specifically. You can't tell whether he's poking fun at it or he really means it. Like, I don't know what he wants. I don't know where he's at sometimes. And I don't know him personally, so I can't get that gauge. I can't, you know, I don't know. And, I just know that when I watch the movie, I'm like, oh, that's a weird choice, right?
Yeah.
And then the second thing that I'm going to fold into this is the glorification of heroin use.
Right.
And let me finish this. Because now from around this time, Trainspotting had the same criticism, but it was at the time of the release.
Right.
I'm criticizing this a lot more based on how things have evolved from that time to now and how we see it's a real problem for other reasons.
Right.
But when he did this, I understand the epidemic of heroin use wasn't where it is today.
Right. I think what I wanted to say about that. So here's the thing. We've had this discussion before too, as far as the racism, the use of poor language in certain ways, words you just don't use, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That is it, you know, is it for shock value or is it for the story? And the thing with Tarantino, at least this is just my opinion, okay? I feel like there's stuff he puts into his movies that I think, like, a lot of people could say, oh, he just did that for shock value or, you know, what have you. But to me, I always kind of feel like with him, it's like he writes, you know, these characters and he kind of gets into it and it's like, what would that character do? How would that character be? What would they be saying? What would they be doing? You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of like how I've always kind of felt when you see, because I mean, he's got these out there characters, obviously, in a lot of his movies, but it's like, I think he just kind of runs with it and it just kind of almost takes on a life of its own. You know, that's kind of how I feel. So it's like, I'm not giving it a pass or anything. Obviously, there's stuff that's like, well, Jesus, you just did that or said that. But at the same time, like I said, it's just like, that's the movie that's going on in his head, I feel like. So he's like, I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah. I agree if it's in the character's head, or maybe it's purely a shock value type of thing. Like, oh, okay, making sure you're paying attention because I just had a white guy say the N-word 15 times.
And it happened to be me who did the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And he does it, so there's that.
I got to say, though,
it weirder.
Hold on. It doesn't actually, it's not even that. I'm like, that to me is very ballsy of him to do, though. Like, you're not,
I don't know about 1994. I think today it is.
For some other actor to say, you're owning that and doing that yourself as that character. So I'm like, that's, love it or hate it, whatever. Yeah. Like, that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't consider Quentin Tarantino to be an acting tour de force.
No, but he's got some pretty good parts.
He, you know what?
And I really like him in this.
And that's what makes his movie so great, just like this one. For example, the opening scene, like I said, we could do six packs all day with Pumpkin and Honey Bunny and whatnot.
Yeah.
The whole dialogue, you know, how they're talking about robbing liquor stores and how a guy robs the thing with the phone, like the whole,
right,
the whole thing. And he does dialogue so well. And I think that's why he can deliver dialogue well when he's in the scene, because he writes it well.
But, and like that, even there with Roth and that, like that was amazing.
It was. And think about this. I have on here. Think of how memorable those characters are. I know they're in the final scene.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when you think about it, that's not what this whole movie's about.
It's right? Not. But isn't it funny, though? Like, when you watch this movie,
yeah,
like, especially like when you first see it, that is a complete afterthought. Like, you don't even think about that whole shit coming back at the
well,
end.
Well, everything else that you goes don't on in the because movie,
you're done. You've completely forgot about it.
I'll tell you.
That's a brilliant move right there.
This came out October 14th. My birthday is on October 15th. So I know I watched this probably that weekend, either if it was on the weekend, I probably watched it for my birthday with a friend of mine I had at the time. And we walked out of that movie like, oh my gosh, you know, this is like, we had heard the rumblings of it. Like we said, there was a hype train kind of because it was so different.
Right.
And I watched that movie, and the day when I walked out of there, movies weren't the same. Like, the movies could be different. They didn't have to be what I was watching. You know, sure, we had good movies recently. Scent of a Woman's a great movie, but is it anywhere near this?
No, it's not.
No. Well, I mean, you know, Rain Man, great movie, excellent movie, different, but different, different.
There is,
you
something,
know?
I find like really interesting to me. I remember Kevin Smith saying this. I think it was in one of his videos or something, like his stand-up Q&As about Tarantino. And I think it was when he was showing him Clerks 2 or something, like before they released it and everything. But Tarantino, like, it was a comment he made or like something he liked about whatever, was like, he's very into, when you're watching a movie, you want to see where that character's going. Like, you want to follow the action and find out, where are they going? What are they going
to
go
my
do?
Camera, by the way.
I didn't have to look at you for a while. That's fine. But he's always like, I want to see where they're going. What are they going to do? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The right points where, okay, follow them now. You know?
Okay. It makes sense.
Is, you know, a good example of that too.
It does make sense. But it's funny he says that, because when you look at this movie, it's made up of
seven
right vignettes. And there's this first one, you watch it. And when I first watched this movie, it's like I watched this and all of a sudden those characters are gone and I'm in a totally different place.
Right. And if you're going to switch, you better damn well be able to back that up and make them want to go to that next character and see where they're going.
And they did. Well, but I think what makes this movie so brilliant is the, and he does it throughout, is the needle drop, right? Like the music. As soon as the diner's done, just like in that trailer, you heard that surf music by Dick Dale and the Deltones, I think it was. I see, you hear that music. And then once you get into the Jules and Verne Or Jules and Vern. Yeah, that's who it is, right? When you get into our Vincent Vega and Jules, I said Jules Verne because of 20 Leagues Under the Sea.
I thought Vincent Vega. You meant it because of Explorers.
Yes.
I christened thee the Jules Verne. Oh, the Thunder See, Road.
Explorers rears its fucking ugly head. Vincent Vega and Vincent and Jules in the car, and all of a sudden it's a Jungle Boogie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it hits just right, and then it blends into the background, and it's...
I have to throw out a six-pack, too, because we're talking about music. When Vincent gets to her house, Son of a Preacher Man, that's epic.
I was going to say, needle drops. You could say the six-pack is...
Just
throughout this, just every time a scene changed and it hit right with the music, it was amazing. That's what I'm a fan of.
And again, I'm just going to throw this out as a six pack too. Just because it's like, it's a small thing, but it's like, oh, well, they did that. When she's like, don't be such a square, like draw it out on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like stuff like
that. A choice.
You know,
made to do that. That's a good choice. Little choices like that, you know, and just so everyone knows, one of my six packs was the nonlinear nature of this movie, how it's made, you know.
Which honestly, you know, like, it is brilliant, but kind of confusing at first.
It's funny.
Which that's the brilliance of it. You got to watch it more than once.
There is, you know, the sequence, they like, think of it this way. Sequence one is the diner. Sequence two is prelude to Vincent and Marcellus Wallace's wife, which is really, to me, the getting the briefcase scene. Then there's Vincent Vega and the wife. Then there's prelude to the gold watch, the Bonnie situation, and then the epilogue, the diner. Mm-hmm. Now, they say if you want to watch them in order, you've got to watch 4A, which is the prelude to the gold watch. It's a flashback. Then number two, which is Vega and Vern or Jules picking up the briefcase. And then six, which is the Bonnie situation. So as you can see, it goes 4, 2, 6, 1, 7, 3, 4, 5.
But again, that's like the behind the scenes fucking brilliance of this is that, like, as a viewer, and it's almost like, I don't know if he was banking on this or not, if that's what his intention was, but it's like, I'm going to get you to fucking love these characters, and I'm going to get you a little bit confused to where you're going to have to watch this multiple times.
Well, that's funny you say that, because I was talking to you yesterday, and how many times have you watched it completely through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you could start this movie at any point and just watch it on out, or you could watch it and then halfway through, it's hard to walk away from it, but you can. Mm-hmm. And then come back and watch the rest again another time. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I told you. I was like, I've watched this movie probably almost 100 times, but I think I've only ever watched it, sat down, start to finish, like, once. But I watched the fucking movie so many damn times because of like that. It's been on, and I watch it, and then I see the beginning, like, you know, I've watched it so many times.
Yeah.
But that's it. Just it's still like it is disjointedly linear.
The vignettes are shot so well that you got to watch it. But let's get into this a little bit more. What I do want to say is this is one of those movie theaters. Like I said, I thought because of the hype, but this is one of those movies that when you watched it, there's certain things you do, and I think you had this with your Bill and Ted moment, that when you watched it, this oozed a style from the first scene to the last, and it was a rare occasion. You feel cooler as a person having watched it when you walk out of the theater.
Yeah.
And like somebody asked you, would you say, oh yeah, shit, yeah, I saw that, you know?
That was definitely one of the cool movies at the time to see.
Like, you felt like you were the shit. You watched one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah, bitch. It's like Monday at School, and I watched the Friday Night Lineup. Did you?
Yeah. Did you watch TGIF?
Did you?
Perfect Strangers?
Did you? Did you snick on Saturday? Yeah, so, no, I agree. It's like, so this is really funny, though. I do remember, it just, it's really weird. It's just a funny little anecdote here. I remember in college, I think I was a buddy of mine that was a big pothead. I went over to hang out. I don't remember if I was trying to get weed from him or what I was doing. I stopped over for a drink or whatever, but he is with another dude. They're hanging out. I think it was at this guy's place. I can't remember. But
yeah,
so they're sitting there high as shit, watching Pulp Fiction and eating pistachios like they're going out of style.
Yeah.
It was just one of those memories that, like,
it fits right in, depending on what scene.
It totally does. Like, this could be a scene from this fucking movie.
Yeah, it's like, it fits right in. It definitely fits right into this. Now, I've got some questions for you.
Yeah.
I got one of them. Where are you on the foot massage for someone else's lady?
I'm more on Vincent's side.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. If you... I think it was the perfect question, though. Would you give a guy a massage? In today's world, that could mean something different.
All right. So I'm on Vincent's side. I'm on both. I'm on Vincent's side for the thought behind it. But I'm also on the side of, you don't throw a motherfucker out a window for that.
Oh, well.
You know?
If you're Marcellus Wallace, you do.
Now, if he licked her toes or something like that, then yeah, go. You're out.
Well, we don't. Yeah, we don't know what contact was made. You know, that's the thing.
You're out.
What if I sit here rubbing your foot and giving you the eyes?
You know what? Here's the funny thing, though. When you think about that shit, you're fucking weird, dude. Don't do that. Don't fucking do that.
Oh yeah.
The funny thing is, I'm sure Marcellus has paid people to massage her feet. She's probably got a masseuse.
Yes.
So what the fuck?
But. Yeah, but that was paid services.
It wasn't.
Tony Rocky Horror does it. It's a little different.
It wasn't like pre-screened or anything. I get that. So now, but that's another one too, though. I don't even know if I want to call a six pack because I want to save my six packs, but I'm already giving them out everywhere. That scene is awesome. 7:22. Let's go hang out for a minute.
And
that conversation.
And then get into character. You know, they got to get into character.
Right. But then
I like that.
But then Samuel L. Jackson's like, yeah, that's a valid point.
It is true. It's like two guys talking at work. Like, okay, I see. I get it. Now that whole scene, that's a pretty good scene. Very memorable. I think the most memorable things from that scene obviously are the big Kahuna burger.
Yes. Which came up later in Grindhouse.
And the whole, may I have a drink of your tasty beverage? I kind of like that flex play when you take someone's beverage and suck the whole straw.
That whole interaction, the entire scene with career opportunities was amazing.
Yeah, love him.
Thing was great. Like, I mean, that's, when you really think about it, when you think of this movie, I mean, that's about the most iconic.
The scene with him holding the gun and saying, you know, and my name is that, the, you know, that.
Yes, yes.
Ezekiel, that's on the cover, isn't it? Like on some things.
Like that whole interaction is like, that's Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, you know? That's Pulp Fiction.
It really
a little
is.
Violent, little funny.
Everything. It's like everything you could fucking want. And we even get to see the briefcase.
And it's a beautifully shot scene. Yes. Like great choices there.
Hey, what again? I dare you. I double dog dare you. I can't believe he didn't get to a triple dog dare, but whatever.
Yeah.
Because you got dare, double dare. After that, it was just double dog dare, and triple dog dare.
I agree.
But you can tell he was not going to fuck around that long. Double dare, that's it. Gunshot.
Say one more goddamn
shoulder.
Time. Oh, I love. Do they speak English and what? But once again, there's like
the metric system.
The metric system, yeah.
Ooh, check Look at out the big brain big on Brad.
Oh man, that is awesome. Now
I feel like I feel like that is like one of the most iconic things, and then Royale with cheese. Royale with cheese,
and that scene are probably the two things.
most associated overall to even people that haven't seen the movie or haven't seen in a long time.
Yes, I would agree with that completely. Or, and Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead. I like that. Yeah. That for some reason, that just sticks out. But I will say, after this, though, you know, the thing that I said is generic, the heroin thing. You know, like when he goes shopping for boutique heroin, it just feels weird. You know, that was a really, like I said, that's a really bad scene for, you know, now anyways. I mean, I guess even then it was. There's people who suffer from this shit.
Yeah.
And I just thought that wasn't a good look. Wasn't a good look. Mind if I shoot up here? And they make it look like it was fun. And then he gets in his car and drives over to
that was the thing. I'm like, hold on. You're driving. You look like you're about to pass out.
Yeah.
And then you go over, pour yourself a drink, and then you're going to drive her to the diner.
Yeah, he's obviously he's a functional addict of some sort. He's
fucking out of it, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now,
you know, I got to say, so this is what I, when you watch this, now it's like, I really wonder how many times John Travolta has actually been like that. That fucked up on that much shit.
You wonder because celebrities tend to have access and no consequences.
Right, exactly.
So it makes you wonder. I'm sure he's drank himself pretty good. I don't know about hard drugs, but you know, cocaine in the 80s.
He's a Scientologist, so.
And his career took a turn after Urban Cowboy for a while. So
he's a Scientologist. But yeah, but even in Urban Cowboy, he had fucking beer and codeine. He was lit up like a motherfucker. He had purple drink sponsored by Budweiser.
Purple drink.
He was fucked up. And then now it's like, I'm a Scientologist. I'm rich as fuck. I still got those grease royalty checks coming in. If nothing else, I can do whatever I want.
Yes. He can do whatever he wants. Now, I want to talk about this. This is another thing that sticks out. Okay, there are things that I will say from movies, and this has a lot of them, and this is the next one. But the $5 shake.
Yeah.
Now
to what they cost now.
Yeah, yeah. But what's the new $5 shake? Like, you know, what is it?
I love the fact just when you look at he's like,
hey, no, $5. That's a good fucking shake.
Pretty freaking good. It costs $5. You didn't put no rum or bourbon in that. But the fact that like you're very like put off that they charge $5 for a shake and you just bought how many dollars? $100.
$300 or $500 for yeah.
You would come back for 1,000 more if it was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which 1,000 more grams, which at $500 for how much ever you get, it was going to be like thousands.
But, and that's the thing you got to love about Vincent's character, though. It's like he's buying drugs, spending hundreds of dollars on drugs, talking about a $5 shake, and also in Amsterdam talking about his experience at fucking McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, but didn't go to Burger King.
Didn't go to Burger King. No. Didn't go to Burger King.
But a $5 shake, I've used that. It's not a $5 shake, but it's fucking good. I've said that. It's pretty fucking good.
Bloody as hell.
Oh, yeah, the bloody thing.
I'll tell you right now, I would love to go eat at that place.
Yeah. Yeah, that. But it had a good vibe, didn't it? It had a nice vibe. Jack Rabbit Slim's had a good retro vibe.
Yeah.
I think they tried for that in Disney with that drive-in theater type barbecue, trying to give you a retro feel.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing, but it has the retro feel.
It's not going to be the same unless you have
the actors
Travolta and Uma Thurman sitting at a table with you.
Yeah, and the actors playing those weird roles of like all the dead actors and actresses.
I gotta tell you, so I wish I don't know if this exists. I've never looked. I would love to see if there is an outtake of a preview of Fox Force 5.
I wish.
That would be amazing.
But I doubt it.
Because I almost feel like Fox Force 5 kind of became the Kill Bill crew, didn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
So.
There you go.
But
maybe.
I want to know what that joke was that she didn't tell.
Oh, no, she did say it. She said, Papa, a Papa Tomato, Mama Tomato,
and
a little kid are walking down the street, and the baby tomato's lagging. So he goes behind and squishes him and says, "Catch up."
Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot. for a sec.
It's a totally stupid joke. She was right.
Like I said, I've seen this movie so many times, and then I like forgot that she actually did tell it.
I like how he did ask, though, you know any of them old jokes? It's like fucking, hey, she does one pilot. What do you think? It's like, what the hell? But I'll say this. She got a little nose candy that she didn't know what it was. And so we get the next iconic scene. Like I said, there's so many iconic scenes. And I want to tell you that what's interesting about the next scene is when he takes her to what's his name's place, what Lance's place, Eric Stoltz's character. Did you notice how the way the movie was shot at that point changed more to a hectic hand cam?
Yes.
Where things moved around in a much faster pace.
Blair Witch shit right there.
Yeah. It really did. It did move around like that. So it really did have a change to fit the environment and the frenzy that was going on. And I think that's the next iconic scene is the stabbing of the
It actually the reminded needle. Me of Saw.
Did it?
Did you ever see Saw?
I never watched, you know me, I'm not.
I didn't say, did you ever go on a seesaw? I meant, did you ever see the movie Saw?
I've been on a seesaw, but I've never seen Saw.
At the end, yeah, there's like Danny Glover's, like, it's all hectic and shit, driving and stuff. So kind of reminded me of that a little bit, made me think of it.
Okay.
So for my generic.
Yes.
Because it's really hard to.
Not the racism?
Put one on here. Well, yeah, obviously. But again, I explained.
I get it. Go ahead.
I'm not promoting that or anything. I'm saying I feel like that's just what Tarantino does, so you're just gonna have to
deal with
it. It's in the movie, deal with it or don't, and that's fine, but it's part of the movie. That's like, he's got these characters, this is how they act and this is what they do, and you know what, there are people that act like that and do that shit. So I get it from an art standpoint, from a movie standpoint. The needle, that's still just
For you, that's probably
out. It just creeps me out.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Right there in the middle of the chest, like fuck.
Yeah,
it still just creeps me out. Like,
yeah, it is. Every time I see it, you know, it's like, oh, that has to hurt.
I'm the person that like I can watch a million fucking horror movies where people get ripped to shreds, but an episode of Nip Tuck, I'm like, ooh.
Gross. It's too real. It's too real. Exactly. Right? It's too real.
Yeah.
It's too real. I forgot one thing I wanted to mention, though. Before he comes out and finds her OD'd, I love him fighting with himself in the bathroom and giving himself the speech to do the right thing. You're going to go home, jerk off, and that's all you're going to do.
I'm like, how the fuck is he even able to jerk off at this point? He is loaded.
Well, I don't know. He functions in a different plane than we do.
I guess, I'll say, I don't know, because my only experience with whether, you know, you can do what you got to do is based on
alcohol
or weed.
Yeah.
Ever in my life.
And those always bring you down a little. So.
No, I don't think weed does.
Not as bad, but I'm sure it does. But I'm sure it can.
I don't know what heroin would and whatever else he fucking had, or cocaine and shit like that would do.
He just had heroin.
But I'm just like,
she had coke.
I'm just thinking, like, he got to her house and was like, Walking Dead and shit.
He was a zombie.
Like, what the fuck, dude? And then you drove her to the restaurant, which again, whatever.
And drank.
And then drank more.
Yeah, I just said I love this speech he gave himself. That's all. Before they, because, you know, he's following the guy code. He's going to do the right thing. But speaking of guy codes, let's get into my next six pack. And that is Christopher Walken's ass watch speech.
Yeah.
The hunk of metal up his ass for how many years? And then he hunted up his ass for 2 years. And then but what's really made it funny is that Butch's dad died of dysentery. I hope that watch is cleaned out, man. That's all I'm saying. Would you have accepted that watch? Well, he was a little kid. You probably
here's
would've.
The thing. Would I? I mean, you know,
not I'm now. I know that.
I'm a germaphobe, but at the same time, you have to have some perspective. And you know, when you think about money changing hands and whose hands have been on, like all that kind of stuff, it's like germs are everywhere. So you got to get that a little bit. The watch is the watch. It's kind
of an heirloom.
Kind of a big deal. But at the same time, I think the biggest thing for me is if you were ever going to have an heirloom watch, who other than Christopher Walken would you want it from?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really? Is there... I mean, if you could say, my celebrity dad is blank.
Yeah.
Would you pick?
I know. I want to say, does Tarantino have a thing for him? Because have you seen True Romance?
Yes. So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that, and him and Dennis Hopper have that great scene. Probably one of my favorite scenes of all time.
I mean, it's, you know, you have, and this is the thing. Obviously, he has a thing for Uma Thurman. We know this. But it's not just like, because remember, when you sign with a studio, you have a pool of actors that are signed.
Yeah.
Deals. So, you know, you're going to have some of the same people in some of the same movies by the same director. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah. But
at the same time, you want them to have their choice. Which I think Tarantino kind of has carte blanche in that area.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're saying this, but there is a story. I'll tell you a few things. People who were favored for different roles that you're thinking about. So, for example, for John Travolta's character, let's see. Tarantino cast Travolta in Pulp Fiction because Michael Madsen, who had played Vic Vega in Reservoir Dogs, chose to appear in Wyatt Earp. So it could have been Michael Madsen, not him.
Would not have been the same at all.
The part of Jules was written for Lawrence Fishburne. That could have been done.
That could have been done. Yes.
It would have been different.
It would have been different, but I still think it would have been good. But
Uma Thurman?
Would not have been Samuel L. Jackson good. There's no way. Like, I think the biggest, let's just real quick, the biggest six pack of this movie.
Yeah.
Is Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson. Like, that
pairing. They carry the movie. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That pairing was amazing.
And then you had Harvey Keitel into that scene. That was pretty good.
And everything else added into it. Yes.
But here's the Uma Thurman's was Miramax, the company, you know, favored Holly Hunter or Meg Ryan for the role of Mia. Meg Ryan, totally a miss. There's no way. Meg Ryan.
You know what? I don't want to say that.
Holly Hunter? Yes. Meg Ryan? No.
No. Let me just tell you. I'm never going to discount Meg Ryan after the diner scene. There's no way.
Okay.
After the fucking orgasm scene? Come on. Don't tell me.
Okay. She could baby pull it off.
Think about this.
She could do coked out. I think she could.
You think of Meg Ryan as Meg Ryan, which I get. You think of her as You've Got Mail, right? Something like
You've
that.
You've Got Mail,
Something
When like Harry that. Met Sally.
What?
Kate Listen. And Leopold. There's so many.
Yes, the When Harry Met Sally diner scene.
Yeah.
And then think of her as Goose's wife in Top Gun.
Yeah, like, Goose's wife.
She
could
pull some shit off. I think it would be really interesting.
There's two more, though, for this I want to tell you about. All right. Alfra Woodard and Meg Oprah Tilly. Winfrey? Alfra. I don't know. She's been in all kinds of things. 12 Years a Slave, Annabelle, Captain America, Civil War. I don't know. She's been in so many things. But Meg Tilly, that's ridiculous. Tim Roth's character was, let's see, TriStar had preferred Johnny Depp or Christian Slater for that character.
Hmm.
But Tarantino had contemplated casting Roth as Vincent and Gary Oldman as Jules, rewriting the characters as two English guys.
Kind of surprised that they didn't go with Christian Slater.
Yeah, since he was already in a movie.
Right.
Yeah. But
I will tell you.
But, I mean, Tim Roth had to write.
Those would have both been good, though. Depp or Slater.
I don't know how you go and Johnny Depp and Gary Oldman make two English guys. I don't know how that works out, but.
Well, I don't know how you go with Johnny Depp as a drunk pirate, but you did.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's any other. Interesting. You know,
Christian Slater, real quick. I actually don't think that would have worked because it would have been too much like True Romance.
I get that. That's a good reason.
You would have seen that too much.
I've already seen that. But here's one that blows your mind. Rosanna Arquette, you know, is Jody, yes. Lance's wife.
The one with the shit all on her face?
All on her face. Yeah. Guess who also read for her part that could have been in there?
Courtney Cox.
Ellen DeGeneres.
No, really? Wow.
Yeah, that'd have been interesting. So there's some definite... Wow. This movie could have had it. Just imagine if it makes a change. Does it stay where it's at? I don't know.
You know what? I think it would. Because here's the thing with this movie. At that time, you could have put a lot... Think about it this way. You could put a lot of different people in this movie that were in some of the roles. And you could have that same list of people that are in this roles right now having the same conversation. You would have been like, would that change this movie? You know what I mean? I feel like it's one of those things.
I do. I don't think if you change out Tim Roth for Johnny Depp, if you changed him out for that guy, that makes a difference.
The story Tarantino had was there. That's the most important part. And it would have been different, but not in a bad way necessarily, but you had these people and you're like, you watch it now, you're like, every one of them brought something to it, but other people could have brought something to it. Just would have been different, but I don't think this movie fails on any level either way.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the thing with it. It would be really, honestly, it would be really interesting to see some of these roles with different people and see what it would have been like, but it doesn't fail.
Yeah. Never will, though. Yeah,
you're right. The story's there.
Yeah.
Or the 18 different stories are there.
It is. Now, I want to get back to Butch. I have a question for you. I have a theory about this movie, and I've been thinking this about a lot of movies lately, but this one for sure is that there are no good guys in this movie, right? There's not really good guys. No. And so I asked, because when you think of Butch, is he a good or bad guy? At first, you look at him, you think victim. But then you got to think, wait a second. After you find out he was self-serving and working both sides of the boxing match, both sides for money, like saying he's going to fix it for one while privately betting on himself so that he could make the most money because the odds are going way bad on him. I mean, he's not so bad then.
So he's kind of like Vince Vaughn in Dodgeball.
Yeah, he is. And then he says... And then he also says he's going to punch his wife. He calls her retarded. Then he has fits of rage and calls her stupid because of the watch. And then he kills Vincent Vega. I mean, and the Zed scene, I guess that was slightly redeeming. You know, the whole rape scene is slightly redeeming. But he's a bad dude. He's not a good dude.
Look, here's the thing with him. Here's the thing with that whole argument. For that whole question, I can't call him a good or bad guy. What I can tell you is he's a boxer that's taken a lot of fucking hits to the head.
And it's abusive to his...
a lot of shit. There's CTE there. Like, he is who he is.
And he's abusive to his girlfriend.
Right.
It's bad. I mean, he's just not a good guy. He's like, the one character I thought I used to think was a good guy.
No.
And now I'm like, no, he's not. He's not a good guy.
I think here's the thing, though. You used to think that because it was fucking Bruce Willis.
Yeah, probably. And I thought he was more victimized than victimizing. Then when you look back at it, you're like, no, he's victimizing too. But he was playing Marcellus Wallace, and he played with fire, and he got burned.
And this is the thing. Like, I mean, he did bad shit. He did redeeming shit to an extent.
Yeah, but he got them into that shit. That's what I was just thinking today. It's his fucking fault because he hit dude.
But it's like, again, like I said, the biggest thing with him is he's got CTE big time. He's a boxer. It's like,
he's going to have issues in a couple years anyways, and that chick's going to have all the money.
His mental state is what... oh, God, this is going to sound like a dick thing here. And I don't even want to say this.
What?
It's like Bruce Willis now.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And I never even thought... I don't mean it like that, but I'm just saying, like, you know...
He's lost his mind,
Like, there's issues there. But that's what I mean. Like, he had issues.
I feel bad for him.
Think about it that way. He was a boxer. He's at the end of his career, so obviously he's taken a lot of fucking shots. I'm not comparing this to that. I don't mean it like that. I was just, you know.
No, but I feel bad for him in a way. But,
oh, I absolutely do.
But I got to say, I want to ask you a question. I've never understood what the Gimp's purpose was I get, you know, he told him to watch him, but he wasn't even good at that because he's tied up.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of the gimp? Is that just a kink that I don't understand? You're crickets.
I don't know. Look, we're getting into a scene that I'm like, I don't fucking know. Okay.
Would you wear the gimp suit if I bought it?
I do. Really?
No, seriously. For like Halloween or something.
No.
And like I would dress up as the security officer.
You need a therapist.
I think that would be fucking hilarious. Someone's done it. You think I'm not the first.
You need a fucking therapist. Bad.
You could dress up as the gimp and I'll dress up as the guy with the beard that has the big samurai slash across his chest.
I'll dress up. How about this?
Yeah.
You dress up as them. I'll dress up as Bruce Willis with a real samurai sword.
Well, that's not.
How about that?
That's now you're just being violent to be violent.
Just saying.
All right. So I'm going to throw out a few six packs here.
You.
First one I have is six pack shot Marvin in the face.
Yes.
I mean, what did you think was going to happen when you're just casually holding your gun on the thing and you probably don't have the safety on? You hit a small bump and boom.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I could almost give a generic to that. Just some like the mess. Just
but
the mess.
Yeah, for you, the mess. But
oh, God,
think come about.
On. Come on, Clorox wipes. Take me away.
What gets me is you watch this movie and you've got to always remember the one thing. The truth is always stranger than fiction. So that probably has happened. That has happened. You know it has.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, some dude's head got blown off because of a speed bump.
Yes.
Yeah, it has happened. And that's just so weird that you know, something it took watching this movie to make you go, oh, yeah, okay. I have a question. Go ahead.
I think the most messed up things you could ever think about in your life have happened.
Yeah.
Probably. You know.
Or worse. I always say, or worse.
Or
like
worse.
You're thinking to this level, but it has another level that you just don't know.
You don't even know about. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. There's another level.
Jared Fogle.
Well, yeah. $5 foot long.
Exactly.
So... Now, that's when we see Tarantino. We've talked about that.
Harvey Weinstein. Fuck you, Harvey Weinstein. Sorry, go ahead.
And, you know, they do the whole thing where they get all cleaned up and everything. And then they go back to
the expensive coffee because I want my coffee. It fucking tastes like coffee.
Yeah, you know, that's funny because I would say this is probably one of the first movies that played Coffee Snob. Now, they did kind of have it, I think, in Singles, because they had Starbucks in that.
Sanka is bullshit? Come on. it is funny, though, because, like, I'm trying to think, like, when did the coffee revolution start?
Well, Starbucks started in Seattle selling to restaurants in, like, the 80s. And then a guy came along in the late 80s and said, after he visited France or Italy, and he saw all these coffee shops on the corners that people would go to every day with pastries. He's like, well, why can't we do that here? And whoever that CEO was, I forget who it was, he made that happen.
See, and
that was the early 90s. That's what I'm saying. So it seems it was starting to permeate at that time.
And you don't like coffee, so...
I can drink a French press with cream and sugar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You like it all loaded up with sugar and shit. Tastes like a sweet drink. I'm saying coffee. It tastes like coffee. Because I want my coffee to fucking taste like coffee.
Well, maybe I like, you know, a different thing. Don't get pissy at my choices.
No, I'm just saying. No, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying I can't have this discussion with you as far as what good coffee tastes like. Because see, I am... kind of a psychopath because apparently that's what it's linked to, or they say it is anyways, because I like black coffee that tastes like black coffee.
Wow, I'm not a psychopath. Go figure.
Well, you're not. You're a sociopath, but whatever.
That's funny. We just took a personality test for work, and I was an ENTJ. And basically it says I'm a person who is most likely to want to be a world leader or a cult leader or talk people into shit that they don't, you know.
Oh my God. Wow. Hit the nail on the head.
I was like, wow, that's interesting. I never thought myself that way.
I did.
Okay.
Jesus so Christ, really, dude? That is you. You should do all these things that I want you to do, even if you don't want to do them.
All right, and I want to pull this full circle.
Nailed it! Hold on. What's that company? I want to write them a thank you note because they're doing
their
job.
It's a website. It's a thing that you just do, and it tells you ENTJ.
Jesus.
You know, if you put it, I think if you Googled what is an ENTJ personality, it would tell you what that is.
Oh, I know what it is. It's you.
So let's bring this full circle. Let's bring us around back to the final diner scene. This is after Jules has had this epiphany because the one guy came out of the room and none of his shots hit him. For some reason, he thinks it's a miracle.
Right.
And he's quitting the game, starting right then and there.
He's out.
He has quit the game. Now, I have a question before we get to the rest of that scene.
Yeah.
Did Vincent die because Jules quit the life? Because obviously he is at Butch's house or apartment waiting for him, but doesn't have a partner. And it's the next day.
No.
So do you think it's because of Jules not being there anymore to be his partner and be with him?
No.
If he'd had a second guy there, he would still be alive.
I don't.
I do. I do.
I don't. Jules died because...
Vincent died.
Vincent died, sorry. Because...
He's careless.
He decided to take a shit at an opportune time.
And left his Uzi.
You know what? What does every parent teach their fucking child? You better go before we leave because we're not stopping. That's it.
I think personally, I think he's dead because of Jules.
Look, you take a shit in someone else's fucking place, you better be packing your heat with you and not leave it on the counter. That was
just,
Vincent died because of that and because of drugs because he was probably fucking high while he did it.
Yeah, but if Jules was still been his partner in crime, he probably would have had a second there and
guess
wouldn't
what?
Have had that problem.
Jules would have told him to fucking hold it in, pinch it off.
Or he'd have said, what are you doing leaving your gun out here like a dumbass? Take your gun. He
would have done that. But guess what? I'm not blaming Jules for that. I'm blaming Vincent for being a fucking idiot.
I'm slightly blaming him.
I'm blaming Jules for being an idiot.
Well, he's an idiot too.
He's making a rookie mistake and he's been at this game for how long?
Vincent's an idiot, you say.
Vincent's an idiot. Sorry, yes.
Yeah, he did make a rookie mistake. Now, let's get to the final diner scene. Excellent scene.
Honey bun.
It actually continues the first scene where they are robbing the thing and the honey bunny and everything. What did you think about the whole interaction between him, Tim Roth, and Samuel Jackson? The whole, I don't know, like my get my wallet out. I'm a bad motherfucker. You know, get this.
Yeah.
Get the one that says bad. Like the whole scene. Did you like? I mean, I always thought it was anticlimactic in a way, but go ahead.
I don't.
I like it. Don't get me wrong. I just thought, man, this sucks.
I think it's kind of like the Gen X version of The Godfather.
You think? Well, that's a good way of putting it.
I mean, it's...
But we just don't have 18 sequels of it, but yeah.
Right, but it's kind of how I would peg it.
I just think that it was, you know, him going the whole, even back then, like the whole I'm the shepherd and I'm trying to, and what I'm buying is, you know, I'm buying you and you being a good person. Do you buy all that bullshit? Or do you think dude takes that bunny and then a week later, he's robbing a different restaurant?
Well, here's the thing. Maybe, but I don't know, because would that plant the seed in his head? What if I run something like this again? Or, you know what I mean? I don't think
that would be extremely strange to run into him twice.
But remember the beginning of the movie, his whole diatribe about this and why he was saying like
hero factor.
Nobody knows what's going. Like nobody expects you to rob a restaurant. Like
no, catch you with your pants down. No hero factor.
And then guess what happens when you do it? So maybe that is the turning point. We don't know, but at the same time, I don't think it's meant to be that. It's like, hey. I could bust a cap in your ass right now. You'd be dead. But I'm trying. I'm on my path right now. Basically, get the fuck out of my face. And go make decisions on your own. It's almost like it's kind of like a parenting thing in a way. You know?
I personally...
It's time for you to make your own choices. Here you go.
I thought my whole thing was, what do you think all the people who just got robbed are thinking? everybody in that restaurant just got robbed, and he's giving him $1,500 and saying make better choices and letting him go.
It's not even just that. He's letting him keep the wallets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's letting him do the whole business. I mean, that's why I was wondering, like, the only thing implausible part about that is that they're able to walk out, put the guns in their pants and look both ways and then walk on, you know, and no cops showing up to.
But hey, keep in mind, remember at the beginning too, they were very against it, but talking about getting real jobs, it was brought up. So maybe this does trigger
scared that, straight. Yeah.
Right.
Tarantino version.
Exactly. So who knows? But you know what? Here's the thing with this. I know you're saying this like, you know, what do you think happened? But that's a big part of this movie. It's like, what's in the fucking briefcase? What do you think happened? Choose your own adventure. That's kind of where you're at.
The briefcase is a MacGuffin. It's just there to move a point across. Actually, it does. I think I've always said there's not really.
Yeah, the briefcase, the fucking bandage on his neck, like, there's a lot of shit.
That's correct. Now, I want to say that ending diner scene was one of my six packs, though. So, there you go.
It was good.
I do like it. I like that. Keep your gun on me, honey bunny. Keep your gun. Yolanda, chill. Don't look at him, Yolanda. Look at me. Keep your gun on me. That definitely things you would say. Like I said, there's a quotable line everywhere.
Things you would say on a first date.
Yeah. Tell the bitch be cool.
Be cool, bitch. Be cool.
Oh, if you ever told a woman that on a first date, I'm guessing you're.
I mean, if the
date's unless they
gone
have a
bad.
Serious sense of humor,
unless the date's gone bad, I don't know.
Yeah, or they have a really good sense of humor and love that movie. There's that.
There's that, but you're still taking a risk.
There's a risk there. All right, so where are we at? Are we here? Are we at the precipice?
I think we are.
So.
I think we are.
What's next? What do we got here? Is it memorabilia?
Yes. What do you want from this movie?
I don't fucking know.
You want the drugs.
So many.
This is the baggie from Eric Stoltz's personal stash.
I want.
He's out of balloons.
I want the shit baggie. In that girl's face. No. Oh, man. You know.
Rosanna Arquette's nose ring. How about that? Or the clit ring.
You don't even see that, but things that we see. I mean, bad motherfucker wallet.
Yes, without a doubt, that's one of my main.
Or the
ones.
Watch, the ass watch.
All right. So, what are you picking though?
Bad motherfucker wallet.
All right. So that was one that was like, obviously that would be cool as fuck.
Or the briefcase, obviously.
I'm gonna go with. If I can't have bad motherfucker wallet. I got to go with the ball gag that Ving Rhames had to wear.
Oh.
Because that is the ultimate messed up conversation.
Both, if you can have both as a set.
For friends and family, that's the best conversation piece that's going to fucking creep them out.
And if you had a fake head with it in it, too.
Yeah. Like, if I could, here you go. If I could have my God-fearing mother-in-law come down and be like, what's that? Like, this is from a scene where he wore this when he was getting butt-fucked from a dude.
Yeah. From a dude named Zed.
Yes.
Hanging him in the ass so hard.
Yeah.
Of course, he shot his dick off a few seconds later. But
that's poetic justice. I mean, but isn't it? It's almost like, dude, after, here's the thing. And you know, that scene is like so fucked up, but.
Yeah.
And that's a six pack too. Get medieval on their ass. Like,
yeah, that's something you use and say a lot.
Like, oh shit. Because I'm going to tell you right now, an outtake scene from that I would love to see is how that went down.
Yeah. Like how they staged and made it look.
Like, I'm talking hostile. Like, show me that shit. Show me they actually fucking did to him afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, man,
you want the continuation.
I want the fucking torture.
A mini movie of just the torture.
For this reason, too. Mr. Marcellus, I want to know. Here's the one thing in this movie that was hinted towards, but we never actually got. What is he capable of? I think that was missing.
Well, we got a little bit when he shot that dude in the dick.
No, to actually see it.
Yeah.
Like, what shit are you, when you, that happened to you, sir, who basically run this fucking town, What are you capable of? Show me the pain you're going to inflict.
Well, he said what he's going to do, so.
I know, but.
He's going to keep him alive, so just so he can make him feel pain.
Show that shit. Show me what Marcellus Wiley really fucking looks like.
Marcellus Wiley, he's a former defensive end of San Diego Chargers. Marcellus Wallace, though, looks like.
Marcellus Wallace, yes. I did say that.
Are you ready to rate this thing,
Wiley? See, I'm a sports fan, man. I'm ready to rate it. Let's go ahead. You go first.
I will.
I know you will.
As I said earlier, this is a movie that when I went and watched in the theater, it made me feel cooler than I really was walking out of it. Because, you know, you saw some of the coolest shit you'd ever seen. There's a few movies that do that for you in time. I'd say this is one of them. The Matrix is one of them. Top Gun, probably when you came out of that one, you felt a little cool. Like, there are some great movies that have come out that just, you know, when you go see them, it's a different feeling when you're walking out of the theater. It's a little more special than other movies. And it changed the way I watched movies forever. I then was, you know, I think before this, I would watch too many of the major studios. After this, it was like, I'm all in on independent. So I've watched tons of independent movies. And the 90s gave that to us because someone said, hey, this was so good. Let's try and do it with 100 different people. And that's what made it a golden time to be able to see lots of good movies that you would never see today. I'm telling you, he says differently, but you never will. Because
you might.
No one's going to spend money without making money. You might. They like guarantees. They like $1 billion checks, baby.
You might want to go see a Marcellus Wiley movie in the future on a low budget.
Is he going to be sacking quarterbacks? I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay. But you know what? This is not hard, people. This is one of the greatest movies ever made, even with some of the generics that are in it. That doesn't matter. This movie's a 30. Let's say the generics take it down to a 24. That's how good this is. It's that good. It's the best movie.
It is. So I got to do this. There's two things about this movie that keep it from a 24 for me.
He doesn't get to see a penis.
Hold on. Yeah, just a shot off one. This is a great fucking movie. It is. Like, even if...
No. You're not going to give this a 24 and you gave American Pie a 24?
Yeah, I did. I'm going to tell you right now.
Eat a dick. Go ahead.
My turn, bitch. I'm going to tell you there's two things about this movie that I have to knock it for. And one, call it petty. I don't fucking care. I'm just going to say this right now. It's anything that I knowingly know is directly because of fucking Weinstein. I'm taking a point off.
I can't do that.
I can and I will. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's my Kevin Spacey effect. I can't watch any of his shit anymore. Like, it's that kind of shit.
This isn't his movie. It's a Tarantino movie.
He's fucking responsible for it. That bothers me a lot because this was such a big tentpole under his name. It does piss me off. But here's the thing. I know
Was Lawrence Bender.
It's his fucking company. I know it's being petty.
It was distributed by Miramax.
At the same time, we're also talking about Tarantino knew shit was going on back then, just didn't say anything, so whatever. But anyways, the other point I'm going to knock it for, which, again, this I know this will piss people off, and that's okay. I know people revere this movie, and I do too. I absolutely fucking love it. I do think it's 24 quality caliber, but the one other thing, there are some slow spots in it to me. I'm just going to say, as far as the movie overall, there are some slow spots in it for me that I'm like, I mean, this is a 2.5 hour fucking movie. Okay. If you could have taken this down, there's some stuff in it, literally clip it here and there. I love the movie. I do. But if you could give me this movie in 2 hours and 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I think you're going to get.
What are you going to cut?
I think you're going to get the same thing, maybe a little better, just because I'd rather digest this in 2:10 to 2:15. That's just me. There's some stuff in it. Again, just saying, I'm going to give it a 22.
Gosh, you give 22. This a 22, yes. And you give
yes
American Pie a 24. You are Frickin' moron.
You gave American Pie a 12.5, asshole. Shut up.
Correct.
You dick.
Which one's a better movie? Which one's shot better, written better, has better actors in it?
Dick.
Which one won Oscars? Which one? God damn you.
American Pie 12.5. Shut up. Shut up.
Yes. And appropriately so.
All right. Would you feel better if I move this down to a 12.5? So we could have the same.
Don't be like that.
American Pie? Jesus.
Don't be that guy.
Again, I'm knocking it for those things. The Weinstein thing, because again, I'm not. This is just me. I will just tell you, any movie that was done because of Harvey Weinstein, I'm not giving
it. Is it done because of
him? I don't care. I won't give it a perfect score. And the fact that, again, I've heard now Tarantino basically knew what kind of piece of shit he was, but he wanted to get his movie made. Whatever. It's not a big knock, but it's a knock.
Whatever. I'm sure
like I said, my big thing with it really is there's throughout the movie, there's some slow spots where I'm like, there's so much going on.
You know what?
Gotta tighten it up.
You do you.
I'm not saying a ton. I'm saying you knock this down 15 minutes. That's better for me. That's all.
I get it.
That's it. It's my opinion.
You want to be that guy?
I'm not. I don't want to be that guy. I am that guy.
Yeah.
Gives us 23. Shut the fuck up. It's good.
What's that mean?
That means Back to the Future is 24.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah, there are 23s in here. That's
probably not
a Christmas story. Christmas Story. I gave that a 24. You gave it a 22. There you go.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And it's not as good as Pulp Fiction. Not even close.
Are you kidding me?
As a Christmas movie, it's good. 22.
You'll shoot your eye out. I'll shoot your dick off. There you go.
There's a Venn diagram where they exist.
Oh, yeah. I think that's, let's see. Breakfast Club, 21.5.
Stand By Me is probably a 21 or something like that.
Stand By Me was, let's see here.
My gosh, if he would just put this in the
Stand By Me was a 24, wasn't it?
I don't remember giving it a 24.
Stand By Me?
You may have given it a 24, but I thought it was a 22 or 21.
Maybe.
Because it's what I compare a lot of movies to. American Pie is nowhere near as good as Stand By Me.
It's good in a different way.
Right.
How long
it's good you- like... It's good like Spam is a good meal. Yeah, it can be tasty.
It can be tasty. If you go to Hawaii.
But if you said, Mike, I'm going to have a porterhouse steak, or do you want to have Spam? Which one's a better meal?
Depends on the
Both
mood you're
Both could
in.
Be a great meal, but one's obviously better.
Depends on the mood you're in.
No.
Where the fuck is Stand By Me? Hang on.
I don't know. You made the list.
We both made the list.
Ironically, that was the name of our old show.
It was. That sucked.
That was good. Oh, that's a great show.
Sucked.
Made the list. We
still
should
suck. I'm just saying.
No. The show is great.
Just looking to see if there's any other scores on here.
No, that's it. That's rarefied air, man.
It is. It's just like, is there anything
else? Somehow you could still fuck it.
That thing you do, 22.5.
Yeah. Brilliant movie.
Yeah, I could still fuck it.
Our list of movies over 21 is probably small.
Yeah, it is, because one of us always fucks it up.
You would have to, like create a spreadsheet that allows you to put them in descending order.
Oh no, I can do that. I just haven't.
Yeah, maybe that's something you can do while I'm there on Friday.
I don't fucking want to do that.
We can work on it together.
Shut up.
We can, since we're gonna see each other. We're going to see each other soon.
I don't want to see you.
And he's excited.
I don't want to see you.
Of course, when you listen to this, I will have already done the seeing of him a week ago, by the way.
Stand By Me was a 23. We both rated it 23. There you go.
All right. It's a great movie.
Same.
It's a great fucking movie.
Same as this shit. It's 23.
I would say Pulp Fiction is slightly better.
Well, of course, because you gave it a 24.
And it's obviously, these are top movies of all time. Like,
they are.
Breakfast Club, Back to the Future. These are these are movies that just hit hard.
I got Pulp Fiction. It's, I could easily give it a 24. I just won't say it that way.
Because he's an ass. Anyways.
Hey, like I said, it's nitpicking.
The Weinstein, he finds his morals when Harvey Weinstein is on a high above air affiliation with the movie. Not even directly.
It's if the things, if I know about it.
But then when it's pie fucking, 24.
Pie fucking's great. Come on, that didn't hurt nobody. Are you on some kind of like coalition against Apple fucking?
I don't know. I've never.
Are you?
I've never had sex with the fruit, raw fruit, or
are you trying
to
defend the apples?
No.
Guess what? If they don't get eaten, they get bruised anyway.
We're all bruised apples to the core in our core. Okay, so are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, we would like to thank you for listening. We also remind you of our website, sodapopcultureclub.com, our Instagram, all that fun stuff. And we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to this long-ass episode. It's Anthony's fault.
I know.
And I'm sorry about his score, people. I'm sorry.
Fuck a pie.
What'd you say?
Fuck a pie.
McDonald's or?
Fuck a pie with a ball gag in it.